SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and on our website, I'm laughing because there's a couple of points in the morning. I guess it depends on how many things you've got. I don't know, subscribed to and so forth. 6 a.m. and 9 a.m., the phone starts to bounce off the desk. You get these alerts and these emails and it's like three of the same thing. And there's got to be a way to manage this. I had it in my hand and all of a sudden it starts to jump and vibrate. You know, 6 a.m., there's certain things I expect. You get these updates. And then when it comes to you got the tournament and if you don't have the settings, but God, if you don't have the settings properly, you'll get nine different alerts about, you know, you get close game alert, upset alert, final timeout alert. It's like, oh my God, then you go in and change settings on four different things. It's like crazy. Right? You're all laughing. You're all shaking your head. Depending on what your interests are. I'll tell you one thing I've turned off is any alerts regarding my Buffalo Sabres. This is the depth of despair. I don't want first period. I don't want scoring alerts. I don't want power play alerts. I don't want nothing. Thank you. At least until they win a game. It's ugly, ugly. And for those of you obviously following the tournament closely, I was rooting for LSU. Sometimes you pick and choose. You know, you pick and choose teams based on, you know, I think the assumption that, you know, there were, to me, there's more people involved in the game, you know, that are involved in the industry that have LSU ties than Michigan ties. I'm guessing. Right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know there's just too many LSU. There's too many people that spell things EAUX around the horse racing. Yeah, that's so sorry to all the Tiger fans about that. I certainly would have preferred. Well, plus, you know, the opportunity to make fun of the Big Ten just is irresistible. That's the best, you know, one of the best parts, right? Yeah. So, all right. I'm sorry, Big Ten fans, but you at least you get a few days to everybody's hopes are pinned on Michigan, right? You know what's funny about this is with all the carrying on about the upsets, you could still envision this thing with what, three number ones and a number two that could still end up being your final four. I mean, you're not going to end up, I don't think, with three double digit seeds in the final four. I mean, I obviously it could happen, but you could still get what, Baylor, Gonzaga, Michigan, and Houston, and then it'll be, oh, it was a formful. tournament. Not, you know, not these first 4 days, it feels. But, no, it's been fun. It's actually been really fun. Even with, I didn't address it yesterday, even with the Raiders, with the Maroon, going down to the Suey Pig. And it was, I didn't think they played great, to be honest. I got some nice compliments. Oh, yeah, they played. No, they did not. They hardly played their best game. I didn't like really. They built that lead, and then when Moody went out, gosh, I mean, when Moody went out, that it felt like that was an opportunity to really control things, but Arkansas responded and went on, obviously. It's funny, they're going to face Oral Roberts, who now is everybody's darling. Up until the time that Colgate dropped Red from the Red Raiders, there was Colgate and there was Texas Tech. They were the only two Red Raiders in college sports. And so Arkansas faced really both of them because they beat Texas Tech. So, and one more time, the Red Raiders that Colgate was, it was never an Indian. I mean, it wasn't founded as an Indian. Colgate was they were called the Red Raiders because they wore a maroon. There was a maroon stripe down the pants, and a sports writer termed them the Red Raiders of the Shenango Valley. And it was never, you know, later on they kind of adopted an Indian warrior, but the red in Red Raiders was the maroon. Colgate didn't have a nickname until the big football teams of the 20s. That they had. So just a little, there's a big thing going right here in Washington County. There's a huge Indian nickname moniker debate happening down the road here in Cambridge. You know, it's got one of the best small school football programs in the country. And they're coming to blows around here over the Cambridge Indian, whether they're going to continue as the Indians or drop it. In fact, somebody asked me in the market at USAC, they said, "What do you think? Should they stay the Indians?" I said, "Listen, I don't have a dog in this fight. I got no horse. I'm not backing any horse in this race. Whatever they do is fine. I'm a Greenwich fan. I don't ask me about Cambridge." So there's a little aside that the after effects from the tourney and the two leaders that I mentioned yesterday going into the last day of the first two rounds, they continue to lead. Torrey, Macho Uno is in first, and Brian Arundel is second. And then there's a couple that are still in it, it seems. The scoring is less upset-minded now from here on in. But the first two rounds had upset bonus points. So now it's more classic scoring. And Sean Loth is third, and Matt Levy sitting fourth. So we'll update that when we get down to Final Four time after next weekend. But it's been fun. One of the really enjoyable, national sports periods these 3 weeks. It really works. I saw somebody make a great point about how the football side of things should learn from this, from the men's and the women's tournament, how much more fun it is to have, all these far-flung schools involved in an authentic playoff setting as opposed to, you know, somebody said the same four college football teams every year playing for a title. Well, they're going to be playing for titles when it comes to the classics and the Derby Trail. Jay Pridman will join us at the top of hour two. We'll get Jay in here to recap the Louisiana Derby. And, of course, Jay with the story emerging out of Life is Good and the post-workout injury that's going to involve surgery. So we'll get all that from Jay. I wanted to get this past weekend's storylines closed out ahead of what will be a very big Saturday and between Maidan and Gulfstream and Turfway. So Jay and Marty, I'm sure, I don't know if they get together, if they've already had their Derby Watch powwow, but we'll see what comes of the changes, including the emergent, you know, potential invaders into the top 20. And I gave you yesterday kind of walk through the leaderboard. Speaking of the leaderboard, by the way, we will talk to Darren Rogers. Darren in the second half, probably after Jay, and we'll get Big D in. The Derby ticketing situation caught my eye and a press release, and I want Darren to lay it out for everybody because general public ticket access Friday at noon. So we'll get the latest on that front. And for those that, you know, are toying with the trip to the Ville for Derby and Derby week. So I wanted to get you up to speed on that. Andy Serling later, of course. Top of hour three. Talk the weekend from Andy's perspective. Popo, we'll get Popo Morales in with a form to win weekend recap as well. And in fact, I talked to Alex from Form to Win last night in Australia, and the two free races a day that are plugged in now. And so once you download, poke around. Papo's got the Thursday Twitch presentations to really walk you through. I mean, I've gotten pretty good at it. Not as good as Papo. He's like a monkey with a coconut. He just moves it around, and he's sliding the different bells and whistles. And one thing we haven't, in fact, maybe we'll mention it with Popo today. There's the fantasy bookie in there where you can, you know, basically you can practice and make, you know, practice bets. So want you to be really acclimated to the Form to Win. Download it. You got two free races a day, and we'll get two plays today. Actually, why not? Right? We'll do some plays today with Popo as well. Doug O'Neill is going to join us here early, and we'll talk to Dougie. He got hung up yesterday, and couldn't get to the phone yesterday. So we will talk Hot Rod Charlie, and in a lot of ways, I mean, really can't be too unhappy with the way the juvenile horses, you know, have come back, right? You know, to have essential quality, and Hot Rod Charlie, and let's face it, they're both in the upper echelon, if not right at the top with Greatest Honor, and you know, we'll see, obviously, out of Florida Derby what happens, but this feels like as good a obviously Keep Me in Mind has got to pull things together. But feels like the juvenile has been, you know, has been very productive. In fact, I want to, now that I say that, and maybe this is, I'm good here. I'm going to pull this up. I'm curious to see who else that was further down the chart. Now, Jackie's Warrior, I think we, you know, we pretty much, the jury's in terms of, you know, distance limitations. But, you know, it's not like he's not going to be a productive 3-year-old. Ron Bauer is still forming, and we'll see where he goes. Yeah, Dreamer's Disease, King Fury, Classier, Sitting on Go. So it's the top of the chart, really the top of the chart, the top three. Essential Quality, Hot Rod, Charlie, and Keep Me in Mind that, you know, had an interrupted, let's call it, interrupted approach to getting his 3-year-old season going. But Essential Quality and Hot Rod Charlie have done little wrong, as they say, right? That it does look like we'll see Ron Bauer, and this is obviously a story that we'll touch on with Jay, how the, you know, the defection, the injury and surgery to Life is Good, how it is going to impact the Santa Anita Derby in 2 weeks. Steve Anderson had a piece yesterday, and he discussed it. And, you know, the possibles. We'll ask Doug O'Neill when we talk to him here in a few minutes. We'll ask Doug where he stands with the great one. But Ron Bauer, Roman Centurion, Rock Your World, Medina Spirit, of course, Get Her Number, trying to regroup. Dream Shake, Defunded, the Baffert. So it's kind of reshuffle the deck, as it were, for the Santa Anita Derby. We'll see what else Jay can offer on that front. All right. Suppose I should slip in the, before we head to the break. In fact, Case, let's take the break here. Let's take a standard classic. Standard classic. There you go. The story yesterday that everybody, you know, a lot of people reacted to, regarding Ken Ramsey and the details of payment arrangements with Mike Maker and Wesley Ward, and I know that this kind of story elicits a certain response. This is really not a new phenomenon. This has been a Ramsey hallmark for a long time. It's not really, I mean, you know, there isn't anybody that has trained for Ken Ramsey that hasn't, you know, had to cajole, not just train. I mean, sales companies and anybody else. And it's gone on a long time. To owe close to $1 million to the trainers, and it didn't take long after this story, after the court filings, for Ramsey to make arrangements with Maker and Ward. But it's a bad look. But it's been going on forever. Dale Romans, Chuck Simon, everybody. There isn't anybody that hasn't you know, this has been an MO. And, you know, for Ramsey said he's embarrassed and he's got cash flow. Okay, but this has been a standard business practice, almost a business strategy. And there's plenty of people that you know, from a business standpoint that operate that way, that, you know, then look to, you know, settle, you know, at a percentage. It's a bad look for everybody. So, there's also the story that, well, another thing that it's a thrill a minute, boy. The CHRB story that was sort of clunkily reported regarding the potential to levy crazy fines against the jocks for the whip rule count. It's another fine mess. Take a quick break. We'll come back. Doug O'Neill going to join us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California, well, to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, I tell ya, this land was made for you and me.
We're back at the races. 25 minutes in, and couldn't catch up with Doug O'Neill yesterday, but he's with us now. And Doug coming off a Louisiana Derby win, virtually, almost virtually, Wire to Wire, Hot Rod Charlie, Joel Rosario, who wins a Derby prep every weekend. Doug, congratulations to you and what was a pretty delirious Bill Strauss and everybody at Roadrunner Racing.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, it was pretty special. And that, you know, these horses just are amazing. And, you know, we're grateful every day to be able to work alongside them. And yeah, that effort that Charlie gave and the ride that amazing athlete Joel Rosario gave was pretty special. And get to see Bill and my nephew Patrick and his partners and Greg Helm. Yeah, it was just, I mean, that's really what you live for, but at the same time, horses that never even make it to the races, you love them too. So it's just a great sport, and that was a great day for us, for sure.
The story, and in advance of you visiting, I went back and I pulled up the chart from the juvenile, and it is nice that, you know, that very often it's been, you know, tough for, you know, the top 2 year olds to make it, you know, even this far, let alone to Derby. I know we've talked about him because there's been some other, you know, there's been some other horses to discuss, but, you know, the Lewis effort ended up being a very good comebacker. And this is obviously, you know, another step forward, you know, from a fig standpoint, it exceeds what he earned in the juvenile. You know, talk a little bit about his development and obviously, you know, you're pleased with, you know, with the way it's going. And there's also the element of the mile and 3/16, which to me is very significant. The fact that he's already been past, you know, 8.5 and now 9 and beyond seems to bode well.
I agree. Yeah, it's it's just so many amazing things with this horse. And here's a horse that Dennis purchased as a yearling, and Bob Feld and his son Sean were extremely influential in that as well. And of course, Bob's brother Jude was influential in me not flipping burgers and instead working with horses for a living. So, it's pretty amazing. And he has, knock on wood, he's been a really tough horse, you know, just a solid dude. And, you know, credit to the owners after the big Breeders' Cup runner-up performance. The plan was to, you know, give him a couple weeks to just a whole lot of nothing and don't take him back out on a track exercising until he just is, you know, rearing and ready to go, which we did. And then we felt like we had him, you know, pretty tight for the Bob Lewis, but we weren't expecting, you know, him being in between two other horses and a three horse, just, you know, knocked down all the way down the lane. So after that effort, it came out of it good, but we, again, credit to the Bill and Greg and Patrick saying, guy, let's give him plenty of time. And as we were looking at the calendar and saw 7 weeks down the road to Louisiana Derby, we circled that. And, you know, it's so rare to circle a date and actually make it. And yeah, so far things have really come together. He flies back into California today, so we're all can't wait to see the champ, and hopefully we can enjoy some more amazing experiences with Charlie.
Well, and you bring up the good point about, you know, the way in which the races have been spaced up to this point. The Lewis was the end of January, and you know, now 6 weeks to Derby. How has he changed? Has he grown much? Did he get taller? Did he add weight? What's changed about him from 2 to 3 so far?
You know, he's always been a good-looking individual, but he's definitely, I haven't sticked him, you know, or sized him up officially, but I'd say he's definitely grown in height, and he's definitely filled out. So, you know, these two-year-olds definitely go through growth spurts, and as three-year-olds, they go through growth spurts as well. So I'm sure he's going to continue to develop as the year unfolds. But, yeah, he does look like a bigger, stronger version than we saw at Keeneland in his Breeders' Cup race. So he's just a cool horse, you know, and he's just so athletic on the track and at the barn. You know, if you're walking down the shed road, he's just one of those that comes right to the front of the stall. Very sociable, loves people, and just seems really happy in his skin. Again, I always say horse is a reflection of us. Eddie, his groom, is just a loving, quiet soul, that's kind of what Charlie kind of reflects that. He's just a cool horse, couldn't be more proud of him, couldn't be happier for Bill and Patrick and Greg. And again, got to give a big shout out to Bob Feld and Schadenfeld, because I haven't really mentioned them much along the way, but if not for them, I don't think Charlie would be with us. So again, huge shout out to them.
There's a couple of things too, and we've brought him up and we've talked about him, but we certainly didn't talk after, you know, he broke his maiden, and you know, at that time it didn't seem all that special. It was his fourth start, but one thing that is notable, Doug, when you look back, you put blinkers on him, and he made a quantum step forward. Now, he also was coming off of two turf tries, a turf sprint and a turf mile, where he ran kind of evenly. Roll back the clock to that and talk about, you know, those turf starts. Were they for fitness? Were they getting to know him? Talk about that portion of the story, because really the light switch goes on with that maiden win in October.
Yeah, you know, it's such an inexact science, you know, as far as where you place these guys. And sometimes you look smart, and sometimes you look like an idiot. And I think a couple of those, as I look back, I was probably a little bit of an idiot. But, you know, when they're doing well and they're ready to run, you know, sometimes you'll switch surfaces, or I do, just because I'd rather them out there competing than just sitting in the barn working every week. Hmm. So. I can't remember exactly the mindset of those, but he does sometimes, if he works slow, he'll have a little knee action like maybe a turf horse. So that may have been a little bit of a thought too. But, you know, him being a half to Macaulay, being by Oxbow, who of course won the Preakness, you know, to me, to all of us, I think we had, you know, hey, is he going to be a really nice one-turn horse, two-turn horse, turf, dirt? There's still a lot of the jury was out on exactly what was the right thing to do, but we knew he trained great in the mornings. He did battle a little bit wanting to separate from horses. He'd work in company with horses, be much the best, and then on the gallop out, he would just stay with the other horse. You know, he didn't really want to separate, and I think the blinkers have helped that. I think maturity, I think Joelle has helped that. You're seeing a, you know, a 17, 18 year old kid go off to college and becoming a man. And I think we're seeing a little bit of that right now.
Well, it'll feel like a luxury, at this point, I'm guessing, depending on who else, you know, jumps into the starting grid by the time we get to Louisville. But I mean, he's a horse that's going to be making his eighth career start, which makes him like an old soul and you know, a grizzled veteran compared to what we're dealing with these days.
I know, and again, like with each and every one of them, and whether a human athlete or equine athlete, you got to keep them injury free. So that's a big thing that we focus on every day. But yeah, he's. I mean, the fact that he traveled to Kentucky so well, and now he's traveled to Louisiana so well. That's a huge asset when you get a horse with talent, when they can, you know, handle that plane ride, handle that new surroundings and everything. That's that definitely helps. So that gives us some confidence going to the first Saturday of May as well.
Well, and it doesn't sound like he's a horse that's hard on himself at all.
No. Again, he is. Absolute gentleman in the stall, and
nice.
He's again. You walk up to a stall, he comes right to the front of the stall and greets you, and just he loves the conversation, that the you know, of us talking and him listening and getting a lot of loving. So yeah, he's a super cool horse.
I hate to even ask this question because it you know, it's so far in advance and you know, is unanswerable, frankly. But, you know, certainly after the last two runnings, you would love to have Joel when you get to Derby. There's a lot, obviously, that's going to happen between now and then for Joel and Ron Anderson. But just some thoughts about how you deal with that part of the equation.
I love continuity with young, especially young horses like him. So we all really hope to keep Joel, but we know it's a business, and he's got another really nice horse in Concert Tour that's going to run April 10th. So talking to Ron, one of the best agents around, and I really respect when he says, hey, can you wait till April 10th? You know, and of course. So so that'll be a big day to see how Concert Tour runs. And then they'll have to make a decision of who they want to stick on. But, hopefully come first Saturday in May, Charlie's doing great, Joel's doing great, and they can team up again and have some luck.
Hot Rod Charlie and Doug O'Neill chasing potentially a third Derby, which I'm sure you you shake your head even yourself. Doug, one thing we before I move on to what's a big week for you, you know, with the horses running at Maidan, we also need to slip in you know, the horse running, of course, under Leandro's name and the 10-day lidocaine suspension. You know, for those that didn't read your comments, and you certainly were. You know, you certainly were upfront about, you know, trainer responsibility. But you know, how do you want players and fans to look at this and understand what transpires in a situation like this?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, there's rules out there, and you know, the buck stops with the head trainer, which is me in this situation. So. You know, it's just one of those where, you know, lidocaine seems to be in every over-the-counter product nowadays. So it's really scary and something that I discussed with the CHRB that, you know, currently the what the rules are. But, God, hopefully down the road they can figure out a way to separate, whether it's Preparation H or Bengay or these pain patches that I have a lot of staff that use them, and you know, you don't people in the receiving barn that you don't that don't work for you, but they work for the track. Who knows if they use them? So, just an unfortunate thing. But again, my mindset was: listen, you as a trainer, you love the pats on the back, and hey, good job. And you know, every now and then, you gotta take the punch in the face too. So I kind of got punched in the face with that, but it's okay. There's the rules and we play by them and looking forward to moving on.
Fair enough. Doug, speaking of which, a couple of other horses that before we even get to what's coming up this week, you had a couple of maiden winners and that, you know, and again, these were horses that had to be entered under Leandro's name, but you know, there was that Square Eddie that I'll Stand Taller, the state bred sprinter, and then there was the turf winner, the American Pharoah, that was actually a nice price winner. That Man Friday, talk about those two from the weekend.
Yeah, with I'll Stand Taller, he's a homebred. He's arguably one of the best balanced looking 3-year-olds we got in the barn, and here he is in the Calvert Square Eddie. He's just a super athletic colt, and real impressed the way he got the job done, and I think he's going to be equally as good going a little bit farther, maybe the turf as well, so excited about his future. And then, Man Friday, he's a horse that we got off Bob Baffert, so he came over in great shape, and last time I thought I was being really sharp. I took the blinkers off, and that was a real cluster. That didn't really work all that good. So I had the blinkers back on, Abel Cedillo rode a brilliant race. The gate crew did a – he's a little bit of a bad actor in the gate, so we've been screwing him a lot there, and credit a lot to the gate crew for their patience with him. And he broke sharp and never looked back. He's got the pedigree and look to, I think, march up a little bit up the ladder. So excited about both those guys.
Nice. Well, Doug, turn our attention toward, and we talked about maybe three weeks ago or a month ago about what was happening toward Maidan. And we'll get, I think the field, yeah, the fields are set, actually. We got the two that, or actually, is it two or three? You ended up sending three, right?
Yep. You're three. Yep. We've got, Wild Man Jack and the Dirt Sprint,
right?
Parsimony and the Dolphin Mile, the Dirt Mile, and then we
Ambivalent.
Have Ambivalent. Yeah, Ambivalent in the UAE Derby. So, they're all training well, and Leandro talk with him every, it's his night, my morning, and vice versa. But he's happy. Tony Romero, one of our top exercise riders, he went over there as well. He's happy, so those kids are happy. I'm happy, and it's big purses and nice horses. It's a good combination if things go your way.
Well, and of course, last year you essentially, you know, obviously, like so many, had the rug pulled out from under, and that included Wild Man was intended, and who wasn't? Yeah. I think you had Derby intended,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, was it four last week? I just won the prep. Sorry, I got somebody yelling in my other ear.
But, that's right.
Yeah, we had a 3-year-old that had won impressively, and we're looking forward. He was going to be one of the favorites in the UAE Derby. So yeah, it was definitely a funky year, but we weren't the only ones. It was the whole world, right? It was a funky 2020, so. Just grateful that things seem to be heading the right way, and looking forward to a semi-normal meet. It's happening this Saturday in Dubai, and looking forward to that coming together.
Well, the Godolphin Mile, William Buick gets the call on Parsimony.
He's a rock star. He's a young Frankie Dettori or. God, whoever the best riders are, I couldn't be more impressed when we were over there and spent a little time over there and got to meet him and talk with him. And he just has that, you know, that Rosario, Flavian Pratt, Ortiz brothers, Casala, all the great ones. Just they got the it factor, and William has that. And landing him on Parsimony is win, lose, or draw. It's a gift for Parsimony, that's for sure.
Well, for Ambivalent, Luis Saez, those are both, of course, Mr. Redham, and Fernando Jara, a name certainly familiar. He's been away from North American action now for a number of years. But how'd you end up with Fernando for Wild Man Jack?
He won on Wild Man Jack last year there, and he's
okay.
Just, yeah, it's funny leaving the gates over there. You know, most of those Euro guys they just get position, let the race set up, and Fernando kind of has that North American go. And Wild Man Jack likes leaving the gate, being involved, and Fernando and Wild Man Jack really get along good. So happy to reunite them. And. And then Luis Saez, as we were looking for a rider, I was hoping to get William in the UA Derby, and then he ended up, I think he's on a Gosden horse over there. So found out Louis was going over for one of the other big races, and he was open, and it's a blessing to be able to grab him. So, I think we got three horses that are going into the races in good shape, and just see if they're good enough.
Well, and you've used this... Particularly with the Derby, you've used the Derby before, and of course the horse that I want to think of that was a favorite. It's a frank conversation.
For the frank conversation,
yep, right?
And then went on
to a nice, you know, ended up having a nice season and nice career. Of course, stands here in New York, yeah. But you've tried this more than once, this idea, the UA Derby.
Yeah, I mean, they roll out the red carpet for your staff and your horse, which is just awesome. And the purse is strong, there's derby points. So even though it hasn't been successful yet, you know, the opportunity is there. And generally, you don't get many other North American three-year-olds venturing over there. So, it's ambivalent. You know, if you ran him in a, Arkansas Derby or something like that, he'd probably be 90-1, where here, you know, I don't know. I haven't done all my homework in the field, but I bet he's no more than 10-1, maybe 10-20-1. But he's a horse that has teetered at being a nice horse and finally broke his maiden the other day. And the pedigree is there, the talent's there. It's just a matter of his between his ears if he's ready to compete at that level. So we'll see.
You would also, when we talked and you were putting the plans together, you had tinkered with potentially sending Hockey Dad even. What happened with him?
You know, I know. Because he's probably a more mentally mature horse and ambivalent. And so Hockey Dad's doing well. I'm going to enter him tomorrow for the Jeff Ruby stakes there at Turfway. And we got Rafael Bayerano to ride him, and
look at you.
I don't know exactly who might show up in there, but he's the Hockey Dad. Even though he's a cowbred, he's the son of Nyquist, and he's a talented colt.
He's 3-for-4, and he seems to be thriving really since the start, since the turning three. He's been terrific.
Yeah, no, he's definitely coming around, and some of these Nyquists, they're all have talent, and some need a race or two to kind of figure it all out. And once they do, like their father, they're super competitive. They've got gate speed. They got everything. So, it'll be interesting who else lines up in the Jeff Ruby stakes. But we're grateful to have him heading there and taking a chance.
Now, this is a. This is a Paul Redham homebred, and I'm just going to guess because he had nothing to do with the dam. Did he buy that dam basically to use a Nyquist cover, essentially, to support Nyquist?
I can't think of the dam. What's the dam's name?
Her name's Ann Summers Gold. She was a Yankee Victor.
Yep, he's had her for a while. Yeah, she throws runners. She's had... she's had a bunch of square Eddies. They all could run. So she produces runners, and this one's no exception. The fact that I think, did he just win his last couple on the grass? The form in front of me. I think he won his last couple on the grass, and that's what made the Turfway race a little tempting as a next out for him.
Interesting. It does have there is the sibling, a square Eddie sibling that was a stake winner, Sprouts, who I vaguely remember.
Sprouts, that's right, yeah. And I know I've had a few out of that mare, and they maybe just got hurt before they ever made to the races, but it's a running family, that the female side, and of course square Eddies and Nyquist, they do nothing but seem to help the mare a little bit, so it's a good combination.
Well, and her first foal, actually, I should have really taken a shine to McGilney, and as a Sabre fan, Alexander McGilney, and this is such a Redham theme. There was also it's kind of funny that then he named a bunch after produce: shallot, squash, and radish. pretty funny. That radish was okay. She was a stakes placed.
Yeah. She was. She ran a bunch and always right there, but didn't cross the finish line in front very often. But she was had the talent.
Nice. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad I came back to Hockey Dad and added to the to the Jeff Ruby. Very, very nice.
Yeah.
All right. Could
be a good weekend. We're excited.
Give us also, while we're doing this, let's also talk about Wipe the Slate and where you stand there.
God, he is so gifted, this horse, and just his mind is just not there yet. So he came out of the New York race, actually popped a little bit of a temp, so we kept him back there like an extra week, and then he's back in California now, and we're just kind of giving him plenty of time and not going to do a whole lot with him for a little bit. So you probably won't see him run for a couple months, but the talent is there. He's had a little bit of that accelerator stuck mentality to where he can't really turn it off in the afternoon, so we got to somewhere or another get him to settle and finish, because if that ever happens, I think he's got stakes quality in him.
Well, that does get us to yet another hockey-related horse name, the Great One, the Louisiana Bred. It seems, obviously, Doug, I'm going to talk to Jay Privman in a few minutes, but given the situation with Life is Good, there's, you know, a lot of people, you know, cleaning their glasses, looking at their potential Santa Anita Derby horses. The Great One, yeah. Going to wait, and you're going to go there?
Yep, that's our plan. Even prior to Life is Good having to go to the sidelines, we were planning on that. And I think last race, you know, we probably over-strategized a little bit. We handcuffed Abel a little bit by saying, whatever you do, don't go with Life is Good. Let him, you know, don't get caught up in a speed duel. And I think it took the Great One out of his style. His style is one he wants to be up forward the place, high cruising speed. He doesn't have to be on the lead, but, you know, he wants to kind of get into a good clip early, and we took him out of that. So this race will definitely be more forward the place. Again, not doesn't need to lead, but if it's an average pace, he will be on the lead. So he continues to train like a big-time horse, so we're looking forward to seeing how it goes here. He'll have another work this weekend, and I wouldn't put too much into his last race. That was just kind of a weird run race, and I think we're going to see a better effort from him this time.
Nice, and listen, he's kept nice company. I mean, it's not he certainly has shown quality. It's not like this is, you know, a swing for the moon.
Correct. I agree. Yeah, no, now with Life is Good out of it, it's a wide open race, and I think we're in that mix for sure.
Excellent. Well, Doug, the 3-year-old scene still kind of churning away, and anybody else have an opportunity to, you know, to get a shot in? I didn't ask about any of the fillies. You certainly tried a couple of different fillies, and in fact, the Las Virginis, or maybe not. It was.
Yeah, I know you're thinking of. My head's all over the place, but yeah, she's. We're going to get her back to one turn, as far as the Oak Stream this year, it's strictly just out of dream. Yeah, nothing, nothing that jumps out at our barn that's got that kind of distance quality.
Brilliant cut is who I was thinking
brilliant
of.
She's a lovely filly, and got a solid claim. She won the day we took her, came to us in great shape, and she's just very solid, but looks like her comfort zone is one turn, so we'll keep her at that distance at this point.
One more 3-year-old, and again, another state bred, and another square Eddie. Found My Ball, who took a swing in the San Vicente, and then you gave him a little bit of an allowance opportunity, 10 days ago. Ran okay.
He's a nice colt. He'll stay against Calbreds for the time being. I think he can stretch it out against Calbreds, so... he's another talented son of Square Eddie, and just trying to take advantage of these Calbred stake races where the pots are big, the competition isn't too steep, and I think he'll
Very good. Doug, you got no shortage, and there's others that are knocking on the door as well. Big weekend ahead with between now Jeff Ruby and Hockey Dad, ambivalent in the UAE Derby. So big point opportunities to add to the success that we saw this weekend. And who knows? It might talk to you next Monday or Tuesday.
Your lips to God's ears. Let's have a good weekend. You have a great week. Steve, thanks for having me on, man.
Doug, I appreciate it. Doug O'Neill, everybody, Hot Rod Charlie, and the Oxbow Sun that takes the Louisiana Derby and now preps and just going to polish them up and get them ready for Kentucky. See what happens when it comes to Joel Rosario. Well, you know, that concert tour runs in the Arkansas Derby, Rosario might have won two more preps. he may have four horses to choose from by the time the final analysis for Ron Anderson and team comes along, right? That's a good problem to have. But, you know, being potentially Rosario's call, we'll see. And, you know, the Hockey Dad, that's an interesting addition to that. I have not looked really beyond the Battaglia horses that, in fact, I think I had that sitting here. And obviously, you know, after tomorrow, we'll have that. Could have sworn. There it is. Hush of a Storm, the Bill Morey, Like the King, Gretzky the Great, Cassie. And Cassie was not unhappy with that comeback race. He had been away, obviously, since Breeders' Cup himself. Those are your top finishers. A Hard Ride Guy, actually. I wonder if Ian Wilkes. So there's a partial list of what to expect, and add a Hockey Dad to that group. Coming up on the top of the hour, speaking of Jay Privman, and we'll get Jay in next. We'll do some further postscript to the Louisiana Derby with Jay, and get his reportage on Life is Good and the ramifications for the Baffert Barn as well as for the Santa Anita Derby. Jay Privman next, Darren Rogers in a little bit, Andy Serling, Papo Morales, and more. Might get something else in here too. Back after this, hour two at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
A great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.